I'm going to be talking about ERA, which is a tool we've recently built with my colleagues at CMU, MSR, and UCLA to quickly find router configuration bugs that are latent. So these are essentially hidden bugs that might get triggered in the future, and if so, they make a monetary and reputation damage to organizations. The high-level motivation for our work is the fact that network configuration is hard. If you think of a typical network, the operator needs to enforce policies of the form. Endpoint A needs to be able to talk to endpoint B. We call it a reachability policy. Now, to make a policy like this happen, the operator needs to carefully configure each individual router. But that's a challenging task because so many things could go wrong in so many different ways. And in fact, most network outages come from some router misconfiguration. And this complexity of network configuration has led to the growing field of network verification, where the big question is, does the network actually do what we want it to do? So let's take a quick look at where things stand today as far as network verification. So the majority of prior work on network verification is based on what is called the data plane. A router's data plane is essentially its forwarding table that tells the router how to forward individual packets. So what that means for us is one approach to network verification is to basically abstract each router using its data plane. And now we can inject abstract traffic into this model of the network at point A and see whether it gets to point B. And if that is the case in the model, we can infer that A can talk to B in the actual network as well. And this approach seems promising, so the question is, are we missing anything? And the answer is yes, because if we look at the network data plane, it keeps changing over time. So as long as we are trying to reason about the network based on its data plane, we are fundamentally limited to the current incarnation of the network. Ideally, what we want to be able to do is reason about different data planes that might materialize over time, as opposed to just looking at the current data plane. So next, I'm going to show you an example of how the data plane might change in a way that causes a policy violation. This is based on a real example, a real incident in a cloud provider's network. So here we have two data centers, data center A and B, that are interconnected through three routers, A, W, and B. And what happens here is data center A is hosting a number of services in the blue address space, IP address space, which is a slice 16 address. And at this point, data center B is able to reach these services, which is the intent. So everything is good at this point. Now, what happened was the operators decided to launch new services under a slash 28 address space in data center A that I'm showing in red. And as soon as they did that, data center B lost its connectivity to all the existing slash 16 services, which was totally unexpected. It turned out the root cause of the problem was a slash 16 aggregate route that was configured on router B. And this aggregate route got activated only because this new slash 28 prefix was more specific than the slash 16 prefix of the aggregate route. And when it happened, router B started essentially dropping all the traffic from data center B to existing slash 16 services in data center A. Now, details aside, what is really the bottom line in this example and a lot of other scenarios that we have studied is the fact that the behavior of the data plane, or in other words, the forwarding behavior of the network, could change in unexpected ways and cause a policy violation. So really the question here is, how can we proactively find such latent configuration bugs before they actually happen? Here is what's actually behind the constant change of the data plane. Every router has a control plane, which is the implementation of different routing protocols like BGP, OSPF, RIP, and whatnot. And the router's control plane takes two types of inputs. One is the configuration file coming from the operator. And when we deploy a configured router, it keeps receiving route advertisements from its neighboring routers. And every route advertisement could potentially make the control plane update the data plane or the forwarding behavior of the network. So in some sense, the data plane is just the current outcome of the control plane. So if we try to reason about the behavior of the network based on any particular data plane, this approach is going to be fundamentally short-sighted. Instead of that, we should try to explore the control plane's behavior across all the different route advertisements that the router might ever receive. And in fact, there has been some prior work on trying to reason about the control plane, but this existing work has limitations with respect to the routing protocols that they support, or especially scalability, even in case of very, very small networks. So to address these limitations, we've built ERA, which is a tool that allows us to find latent reachability bugs by analyzing configuration files. And ERA works based on control plane analysis using two key ideas. One is an expressive yet tractable model of the control plane, and second is a scalable way of exploring this model. And we've made it available as open source. Here's what ERA looks like at a very high level. It has two inputs. One is the set of router configuration files, and second is the set of intended reachability policies that come from the operator. And at the end of the day, ERA returns whether the router configuration files are policy compliant, or maybe there is a latent bug that might materialize at some point down the road. And here we assume that routing protocols converge to their steady state. And it turns out even with this assumption, we could capture a large class of bugs. So next I'm going to be talking about the design of the system. So like any analysis tool, ERA requires two high-level components. First, we need a model of the system we are trying to reason about. In our case, what is the model of the control plane? And the challenge here is the fact that despite the diversity and complexity of real control planes, we need a model that needs to be first expressive, meaning it captures key behaviors of actual routing protocols. And yet it cannot be too elaborate because at the end of the day, we want to explore it, so it has to be tractable as well. And once we have a model, second question is how to explore that so that we can reason about the system. And of course, this exploration mechanism has to be scalable. So first I'm going to be talking about modeling the control plane. So we essentially need two ingredients to model the control plane. First, we need to decide what is the model of the input-output or the I/O of the control plane. And second, what is the actual processing logic inside the box? So first, what is the I/O model? We can think of some candidate solutions. What is the low-hanging fruit? Why not just use actual protocols messages? At the end of the day, they're gonna be definitely expressive because they capture everything. But the problem is they're gonna be too cumbersome. So this kind of I/O model is not tractable. If you look at the other extreme, maybe we can think of a very, very simplistic protocol agnostic I/O model that completely ignores all the differences between different routing protocols. And probably that's going to be tractable because at that point we've gotten rid of a lot of details. But that model is not expressive. It's totally incorrect because, for example, the way OSPF and BGP make routing decisions are fundamentally different that we cannot ignore. Our approach is to model the control plane input-output as a very compact bit vector that we call a route. A route captures just enough information to make key routing decisions. And this information includes things like destination IP address, destination prefix mask. Administrative distance is just a fancy name for what the protocol is. Is it BGP or RIP, let's say. And a careful encoding of relevant protocol attributes. And what's more, this route abstraction unifies different routing protocols because now we have one data structure that is capable of representing route advertisements of different protocols. So with this model, now we have an expressive and tractable way of modeling the I/O of the control plane. Okay, but what to do with this input, right? How to turn it to output? What happens inside the box? Again, we can think of some low-hanging fruit options. Let's say, why not just use the actual router implementations code? It's readily available, at least in some cases. But the problem is such a model is going to be too elaborate to explore in a scalable way. So we need to do something better. We model the router control plane as a fast route processing pipeline using Boolean operators. And this design choice actually goes hand in hand with the bit vector abstraction of a route that we just saw. So I'm not gonna get to the details here in this talk. We have everything in the paper. I just wanna give you a very simplistic example just to give you a sense of what this pipeline looks like. So suppose a route has only 4 bits. The actual implementation in our system is 128 bits. And in this example, we have a router that has received a route advertisement from its neighbor, X1, X0 bar. What it means is X1 means administrative distance is 1, so it's an RIP advertisement. X0 bar means the attribute is 0. So the question is, how do we turn this to an corresponding output route advertisement? And suppose the router has 3 configuration commands. So we want to see what happens throughout the pipeline. So we take the input, throw it at the first stage of the pipeline that says RIP, simply meaning our router supports RIP. And what we do in this case, we AND the input with X1. X1 just means RIP. We get a Boolean expression after this stage. So next we have a static route configured to prefix 10, which is shown as X3, X2 bar. Now we need to note that static routes take precedence over all other routing protocols. That's how actually routers work. All other routing protocols, including RIP in this case. So we need to essentially AND what we had from the previous stage with the negation of the static route prefix. And if we do that, again, we get a Boolean expression, and finally we have an output filter that tries to essentially set the attribute of an RIP route to 1. And again, it's a very simple Boolean operation in our pipeline because we just need to look at the expression, and anywhere we have X0 bar, meaning the attribute is 0, we just flip it, we make it X0. And that gives us the corresponding output route advertisement. And we have designed and implemented a generic pipeline that I'm not going to talk about here. Just want to point out 2 quick things. One is, in a real network, we don't have individual route advertisements. We have a collection of them. And for a scalability reason, we represent this collection as a binary decision diagram, or BDD, which helps us in terms of scalability because it's really compact. And second is, in our pipeline, we capture most important aspects of router control plane behavior that have been known to be the source of a lot of actual bugs. Things like input-output filters, route selection, even aggregate routes or redistributed routes. Okay, so what we did so far, we have a model, but the whole point of doing that was to be able to explore that so that we can reason about the network. So here I'm just gonna give the intuition behind how our reachability analysis algorithm works. Suppose in this example, we are trying to see what traffic prefixes get from A to B. Now to answer that question, because we have now a compact model of the control plane, instead of trying to see what traffic gets from A to B, we can see what traffic prefixes are advertised from B to A because traffic goes the opposite way of the advertisement. And that's great because now we get away without having to explicitly compute the data plane. But we are not quite done yet because most likely our network is not an isolated entity. So there is an environment, meaning outside routers that could send us route advertisement, and we may not know anything about it. So what if they send us some bad route advertisement that breaks A to B reachability? We need to account for that. And in fact, we need to be really paranoid because even one bad route advertisement could break the deal. So effectively, how can we consider the fact that the environment could send us all possible route advertisements, a subset of which could be bad advertisements? Now, it turns out that our Boolean control plane model comes in handy here. Because all we need to do is to assign a Boolean value true to each point of contact with the environment, which effectively means the environment is sending us all possible route advertisements. And what we achieve this way is we can verify whether A can talk to B, no matter what the environment might do. And on top of this basic reachability algorithm, we apply some optimizations. I'm not gonna elaborate on them here. We have all the details and algorithms in the paper. Quick words on implementation and evaluation of the system. So we use an existing parser from a prior system called Batfish that supports parsing configuration files in both Cisco and Juniper formats. We represent the network topology in a custom way. One interesting thing here is that I just talked about A to B reachability as policies. It turns out that we can use that as a hammer to derive a bunch of different useful practical policies like valley-free routing or black hole freeness and so forth, and we support all of these policies. Another thing is maybe sometimes the operator knows something about the environment, so she doesn't have to be so paranoid. So in that case, if we know, for example, something about the relationship with a peering ISP, we could incorporate that kind of knowledge as part of the input to the system. And the actual model of the control plane, as well as the exploration mechanism, is all mostly in Java code that we have implemented. And we also use some Intel AVX2 instructions for even further speed up. And the code is available on GitHub for public use. So we have evaluated the system to see whether it works and if it is fast and scalable. So I'm not going to talk about the scenarios here. We have a lot of them in the paper, combination of synthetic and real bugs. In all cases, Aero has been able to successfully pinpoint latent bugs. And Aero is fast and scalable. For example, it can analyze a network with over 1,600 routers in less than 7 seconds. And to put that number in context, we also try to use an existing state-of-the-art solution that tries to analyze the data plane. And even for a network with only 2 routers, that system would take an astronomical number of days to complete the task of verification. Okay, to conclude, the problem we looked at here was how to find latent reachability bugs. And prior work, which mostly focuses on data plane analysis, has major limitations. And in this work, we built Aero, which is a fast control plane analysis tool that can pinpoint latent reachability bugs. And there are two key ideas in enabling what we do. One is modeling the control plane's I/O, or input-output, as compact binary decision diagrams. And the second idea was modeling control plane processing logic using fast Boolean arithmetic. We have used Aero to find latent bugs, and we found it to be fast and scalable. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, Aditya Akela, University of Wisconsin. So can you go to slide 12, please?
12.
So I'm an author of that paper, ARC. So can you explain to me how the whole point of ARC is to create an abstract representation that is, like you say, agnostic of protocols and protocol specifics, but still models the decisions that different protocols make, like BGP, OSPF, RIP, and so on. So you're basically saying the paper is wrong by saying.
So actually, this suggestion comes from another co-author of the same paper. So he asked me to put this example.
That's not an answer. So.
So what is the question?
But okay, so maybe I can phrase it in a more friendly manner.
Okay.
Have you so ARC is open source? Have you and I think you have evaluated on the same set of possibly data center configs that we looked at. Have we compared ARC versus Aero?
So we haven't been able to run the tool, actually. We tried to run ARC. We haven't been able to do that. But we compare with the actual technique.
Hey, Rajat Agarwal, Cornell. So talking about the strong claims, I was first, not just Aditya, I was an author on the first data plane analytics paper. And I, if I remember correctly, that was in 2011. I was on Anteater paper, if you know Anteater. I'm very curious, before Anteater, people were doing control plane analysis, and we moved to data plane analysis when we proposed Anteater for two reasons. One is, like you said, different protocols are interacting at control plane. But your whole premise of data plane changing, creating problems in analysis,
yes.
Actually at control plane, we found that was a much harder problem because control plane changes, control plane state changes much, much faster than data plane. Now, if you wanted to avoid control plane, you could do static analysis, where just in your example, you would have 2^128 possibilities, right? So when you say 7 seconds for 1600 routers, you try to run Anteater on this 2-router node, and actually this 10 to the 22 days, do you see the results in Anteater or any of the data plane analysis paper?
So what is the question exactly? I mean, you made some good comments, but what is the question?
This 10 to the 22 number, where are you getting it from? How is it that you are so efficient while Anteater showed on 45-node network you were able to do this in seconds? Yes.
So the short answer is, if you think of the data plane, it's an output of the control plane. So the actual cause is the control plane. And so we need to look at the possible inputs to the control plane that might output a data plane that is violating the policy. So as long as we cannot reason about the actual control plane that creates these data planes, we don't have a fundamental tool to reason about the possible inputs that could trigger a latent bug. So, and that's fundamental to data plane, not only Anteater, any existing tool that really tries to look at a concrete set of forwarding tables.